morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Laura. Well, coming up today, we'll hear a whole lot of candidate-free announcements. WMNF has been doing this for several years, offering free airtime to candidates just before the elections. So we're going to do that today, and we're going to hear a wide range of candidates. And my best suggestion is to get out a pen and paper, just jot things down that come to mind as you listen to these messages that the candidates are reading. WMNF offered free airtime for candidates regardless of party and regardless of office. They just had to be on the ballot on November 3rd. We asked them to record up to 2 minutes, and a lot of candidates came through and recorded messages. So we're going to start first with a candidate for the Hillsborough County School Board. So we'll be listening to these candidate messages for the next few minutes here on WMNF. Here's the first one, candidate for Hillsborough County School Board.
Hi, my name is Jessica Vaughn, and I'm running for Hillsborough County School Board in District 3. District 3 includes Plant City, Sefner, New Tampa, USF, Temple Terrace, Lutz, Carrollwood, and Northdale. As a community organizer who spent the last 5 years working on issues centered around social, economic, and environmental justice, as a parent of a neurodiverse student, as an elected CDD board member who manages a multi-million dollar budget, but most importantly, as a certified educator who spent the last decade in our classrooms, I'm uniquely qualified to meet the challenges facing Hillsborough County Schools. My platform is centered around equity and equality, securing more funding for public education while fighting back against the movement to privatize education, improving school safety and student health, expanding exceptional student education, empowering teachers and support staff, and improving board accountability, transparency, and access. I've been endorsed by the Tampa Bay Times, the Teachers Union, County Commissioners Pat Kemp and Smith, as well as a plethora of other people-powered organizations and elected officials. Unlike my opponent, I'm not funded by the for-profit private prison industry, reckless developers, or special interest groups. My educational, budgeting, and leadership experience, combined with my passion for education, my track record of showing up to do the hard work, my commitment to civil service, and my dedication towards public education have all prepared me to be the best candidate for District 3. To learn more about me or contact me, please visit my website at www.jessicavaughn.us. And on or before November 3rd, please vote for Jessica Vaughn for Hillsborough County School Board in District 3. Thank you.
Well, that was our first candidate today, Jessica Vaughn, who's running for Hillsborough County School Board District 3. Our next candidate is running for State House seat in Pinellas County.
Hi, this is Jessica Harrington, the 2019 Teacher of the Year from Smith Middle School, and your candidate for State Representative in District 64, which covers the northwest part of Hillsborough County and the northeast part of Pinellas. I was born and raised in Florida. Like many of my students, I grew up in a working-class home. My family sacrificed everything so that I could have a world-class education. I became a teacher to give back to my community, and after 13 years of working in the classroom and seeing the destruction of our public schools by out-of-touch lawmakers in Tallahassee, I decided to run for office to stand up for us, our families, our children. Florida is nearly last in the country for public education and help for health care, with a broken unemployment system and a struggling economy that has left our small businesses and hardworking families behind. My opponent is backed by corporations and for-profit prison industry that has lied about my campaign since the moment she entered this race. We can do better. Our community is ready for change, not more of the same. A vote for Jessica Harrington is a vote for a proven servant leader, a vote for the future our children and grandchildren deserve. Let's build back our economy and work together to solve the problems we face. I will work to protect coverage for pre-existing conditions, make healthcare and medicine affordable, fully fund our public schools, making sure our children are safe and engaged, and I'll fight to pay our teachers a livable wage. I'll also fight for affordable housing, clean water, and land conservation. I ask for your support and your vote to send a teacher to Tallahassee. To learn more about my campaign, visit jessicaharrington.org. Thank you, and remember to vote for Jessica Harrington for state representative.
That was Jessica Harrington, who's running for the District 64 State House seat in Northeast Pinellas, and it includes parts of Hillsborough County. You're listening to 88.5 FM. We've got some more free candidate airtime for you. The next person we're going to hear is a candidate for the Hillsborough School Board.
My name is Nadia Combs, and I am running for Hillsborough County School Board District 1. I am a lifelong educator. I have taught in Hillsborough County Public Schools. I was a teacher, team leader, department head, and district trainer. I was Teacher of the Year for Middle School Social Studies. I also have run two educational businesses. I ran a business where I provided after-school tutoring throughout the state of Florida, as well as currently owning a private tutoring center. I am very passionate about advocating for our students. The reason that I'm running for school board is because I want to make a positive impact in our community and in our public schools. I have the experience, background, and knowledge to be an effective voice in education. And I have spent all those years working in our school and community. If you want to learn more about me, please go on my website at votenadiacombs.com, or you can contact me at 813-263-2088. Please vote for me in Hillsborough County School Board, District 1. Thank you.
That was Nadia Combs, who's running for the Hillsborough School Board seat in District 1. And next up, we're going to hear a candidate for the Pinellas County Commission.
I'm Janet C. Long, and I'm running for re-election to the Pinellas County Commission. We've made great progress on big issues by working together, and I'd like to keep working for you to get big things done for our county. On the commission, we have worked in a bipartisan fashion to keep Pinellas residents as safe as possible during the coronavirus pandemic. We acted responsibly to temporarily close businesses when the virus spiked, and we have responsibly reopened. We continue to encourage everyone to wear masks and to social distance, and those efforts are paying off. We have provided millions to small businesses and families facing economic hardship, and we will continue to listen to the health experts and base our decisions on science, not politics. Secondly, we also have relied on facts and science to address climate change. I led the charge to create the Tampa Bay Regional Resilience Coalition and now chair this group of 30 local governments. We are working together to develop smart regional approaches to deal with the impacts of climate change, such as sea level rise and stronger hurricanes. In Pinellas, we will continue to focus on hardening our infrastructure and on the proper building codes and development plans so we can better protect our homes and businesses. Thirdly, I've led our efforts to improve transit in Pinellas County. I helped get $21.8 million in federal money to help pay for the Sunrunner Bus Rapid Transit Project, which will run from downtown St. Petersburg to St. Pete Beach. I have provided proven common sense leadership, and I would very much appreciate your support. Please vote for Janet Long for Pinellas County Commission, District 1.
Well, that's Janet C. Long, who's running for Pinellas County Commission, District 1. And you're listening to free airtime for candidates here on WMNF in Tampa. Let's listen to now a candidate for a Florida House seat that is in Pasco County.
My name is Daniel Endonino, and I'm running to represent Florida House District 36. As a working-class resident of this district, I believe we need someone in Tallahassee that believes in a livable minimum wage, someone who will fight to expand health care and will fight against climate change and to protect our beaches. You can learn more at danforpasco.com, and please remember to get out and vote as early voting has begun. Thank you.
And I should say that that candidate is running for the Florida House District 36 seat, Daniel Endonino, and we offered time for every candidate who's on the ballot on November 3rd, and this is open to everybody regardless of the office that they were running for or for the party that they belong to. Let's listen next to a candidate for the Hillsborough County Commission.
Hi, this is candidate Gwen Myers, running for Hillsborough County Commission District 3. The reason I'm running for Hillsborough County Commission District 3 is because I have a passion for helping people address the county's urgent issues, transportation, affordable housing, and health care. I worked for Hillsborough County government for 25 years. I know what it means to serve the public and be a public servant. Throughout my 25 years career, I worked in Orient Park, Grant Park, Progress Village, and the USF area all those areas encompasses District 3. I want to see District 3 prosper like other districts of Hillsborough County, with good-paying jobs, affordable housing, health care, a safe and walkable community, good transit, and that our CSX freight rail be converted to commuter rail to serve the people. It's all about the people. My work experience is very valuable to what I will bring as a current county commissioner coming on board and having the opportunity to serve the public. Again, vote Gwen Myers for Hillsborough County Commission District 3 in this upcoming election. You can reach me via my website, votegwenmyers.com, or if you have an email that you would like to send me, you can send it to info@votegwenmyers.com. Your vote matters to me. Vote Gwen Myers for Hillsborough County Commission District 3. Thank you.
Gwen Myers is running for Hillsborough County Commission District 3. This is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. The next candidate we'll hear from is running for the Dunedin City Commission.
Hi, I'm Mike Quill for Dunedin City Commissioner Seat 3. For more information, please visit my website at www.mq4d.com and on Facebook. A little background. I am happily married with one daughter, live in Dunedin for over 30 years. I am a lifelong public servant with over 30 years of experience in local government. I was chair for the Dunedin Public Safety Committee for 10 years, served as acting chief and executive level positions during my tenure in law enforcement. I have boots on the ground experience. I am a local businessman and inventor. I hold 2 issued patents in green energy. I have a BA in criminology and public administration. I am very proud of my campaign's accomplishments so far. We have reached over 45,000 residents, helped add an educational requirement to pollution penalty codes, proposed collaborative solutions for the purchase of the Gladys Douglas Hackworth Preserve in Jerry Lake. As your commissioner, I will make public policy a priority. Your voice matters, and I hear you. Affordable housing. Create a policy to provide a cycle of housing from cradle to grave. Environment. Our environment is our economy. It's why people live here, and it's why they visit. Responsible development. Let's keep Dunedin's charm and vibe. Traffic and parking. I support Vision Zero, and public safety and quality of life issues matter. I offer my passion and empathic leadership to champion what Dunedin cares about. I ask for the honor of being your next Dunedin City Commissioner, Seat 3, to serve you and be your voice. Vote Mike Quill for Dunedin City Commissioner, Seat 3, on November 3rd, or mail in your ballot today.
Mike Quill, who's running for Dunedin City Commission, Seat 3. Well, our next free message from a candidate comes from a Hillsborough School Board candidate.
Hi, my name is Lynn Gray, and I'm running for the School Board of Hillsborough County re-election for District 7, and that is countywide. And I stand as an experienced teacher, a community advocate, and one who has taught not only in elementary, but middle school, high school, and college. I represent the various unions, their apprenticeship programs, vocational tech schools, as well as the new curriculum that I'm putting out there with African American children in mind, Hispanic children. All this is to say, thank you for your support.
Well, that's Lynn Gray, who's running for the Hillsborough School Board District 7. And this is WMNF in Tampa, and we're going to continue with our free airtime for candidates. Next, we're going to hear from a candidate for the Hillsborough County Commission.
This is Harry Cohen, candidate for Hillsborough County Commission District 1. Our community is facing an enormous amount of challenges. We have COVID-19, we have the economic fallout from the virus, and we have the almost unprecedented racial and ethnic and community unrest that has really shaken the country over this past 6 months. We need experienced leadership, judgment, people to move us forward who really have the community's best interests at heart. We have challenges in affordable housing, in workforce development, in transportation, in infrastructure, in dealing with sea level rise and global warming and the many challenges faced by our community because of our failure to look squarely in the eye of all of the different things that are facing us. But the good news is we can do it. We can elect good people to office, and we can make a difference going forward. We can make sure that we build a community of equity and fairness, and we can make sure that we support our arts organizations and our cultural institutions and all of the important things in this community of which we are so proud. I know that these are going to be challenging times, and that's why I am offering myself to be on the Board of County Commissioners, because I know that together we can make things work in this community and get each other back to work and save our economy and build a better day for tomorrow. I'm Harry Cohen. I am running for the Hillsborough County Board of County Commissioners, District 1, and I would appreciate your support going forward. Thank you very much.
That's Harry Cohen, who's running for Hillsborough County Commission District 1. And we thank all the candidates for taking part in this. We think that this is an exercise in democracy where a broadcast radio station provides free airtime for candidates. The airwaves do belong to the public. And instead of charging candidates money to access the airwaves, WMNF for years has believed that providing free airtime is a public service, and we hope you're enjoying this. And again, get out your pads of paper and your pencils and listen and maybe take notes as you're listening back to these candidates. We've got a bunch more to listen to. This is 88.5 FM. Next, we're going to listen to a candidate for Pinellas County Commission.
Hello, I'm Pinellas County Commissioner Charlie Justice. I'm focused on the important work. That's why, as your commissioner, I've worked on sensibly responding to COVID, making huge investments in our infrastructure, creating a small business enterprise program, and protecting and enhancing our beaches and our parks. We've responded to COVID by providing enhanced testing, passing a public mask ordinance, securing grants for our families and small businesses impacted by the virus and the governor's shutdown orders, and working to share the latest and most relevant information with you so you can take the right steps for you and your family. We've invested in our local infrastructure, roads, bridges, millions in our emergency preparedness, including a hurricane-resistant emergency operations center, as well as new facilities for our first responders throughout Pinellas. We've done this while not raising taxes and maintaining the lowest debt ratio of any urban county in Florida. Our recently created Small Business Enterprise Program focuses on keeping government contracts and public work in the hands of our local small businesses. When we started, participating companies were getting awards of business around $250,000. This year, that number is closer to $20 million. That's huge for our local businesses and their employees. I also serve as chair of the Tampa Bay Estuary Program. I know how critical our environment is to our quality of life. The work of the Estuary Program has led to the best water quality of Tampa Bay in over 50 years. We're cleaning up Lake Seminole. We more than doubled the green space at Wall Springs and Palm Harbor. We know that a clean estuary, beautiful beaches, and vibrant parks are worth billions to our economy, and it's priceless to our quality of life. I'm Charlie Justice. I'm a Pinellas native who's married to Kathleen with two wonderful daughters. I want Pinellas to be a place that they want to call home to. We know there's issues ahead, affordable housing, transportation, a continued economic recovery. There's still more important work to do, and I hope you'll join us. Learn more at charliejustice.com.
So Charlie Justice running for the Pinellas County Commission. Next up, we're going to hear from a candidate who is running for a state house district that includes parts of Tampa and Hillsborough County.
Hi, my name is Julie Jenkins, and I'm running for the Florida House District 60. This community is my home. I've raised my kids here, lived here for over 32 years. I'm a mom, business owner, community advocate, and your neighbor. I've worked in corporate America. I own a small business now, and I've been involved in philanthropic charitable organizations in town. I know the importance of our business community. I'm running for the safety and health of our kids and community, our future. I truly believe in people over politics. I've raised over $100,000 for our community public schools. I've helped clean our bays, and I've been a neighborhood association president for our last two neighborhoods. I truly believe in health care. We need to listen to experts. Small business, survive, and protect our local jobs. Ensure our schools are funded and safe for both our kids and teachers. We need to listen to the science. We need to fight for common sense gun safety reforms. And in reference to our environment, we've got to make sure we have clean air and water for our future. I was endorsed by the Tampa Bay Times, and they said I'm the real deal in reference to bipartisanship. I have Republicans, Democrats, and Independents supporting me. Please take a look at my website at www.votejuliejenkins.com. Thank you.
Julie Jenkins, who is running for State House District 60, and all these folks will be on the ballot on November 3rd. Next up, we're going to hear from a candidate for State Senate District 20.
I am Kathy Lewis, and I am a Democrat running for Florida Senate District 20, which includes parts of Hillsborough, Pasco, and Polk counties. I decided to run for office after being stonewalled when applying for disability and education benefits for my daughter. Only after 15 months of waiting and a late-night email to everyone from the Secretary of Health and Human Services in D.C. to our local health care agency, my daughter was finally approved for the benefits she needed. This experience lit a fire in me to help all families struggling with bureaucracy. Now, COVID-19 has put a new spotlight on government failures. Millions of Floridians have suffered the same frustrations, trying to apply for unemployment, trying to obtain health care after losing a job, and even trying to vote. Our state is fighting COVID-19 without a plan based on science and advice from experts, without a safety net for people facing evictions and foreclosures, without a cogent plan to protect our children and our teachers, and with our loved ones dying alone. I will chart a new course, putting people first, ahead of big business and ahead of powerful career politicians who line their pockets with deals made behind closed doors. My vote in the Florida Senate cannot and will not be bought. Whether the issue is COVID-19 response, quality, accessible health care for all, saving our springs and beaches, equal rights for every person, including persons with disabilities and the LGBTQ+ community, or ending gun violence, I will be an advocate for all Floridians. I will fight for you as hard as I fight for my daughter. Fight for every worker, for every family, for every Floridian. We will leave no one behind. Please vote for me, Democrat Kathy Lewis, for Florida State Senate District 20. Vote all the way down the ballot. Learn more at www.kathy4florida.com.
That's Kathy Lewis, who's running for Florida Senate District 20, which includes portions of Hillsborough, Pasco, and Polk counties. And this is 88.5 FM WMNF in Tampa. This is something that we do every few years right before the elections. And next, we're going to hear from a candidate for State House District 66. This includes parts of the area near Largo and Clearwater.
Have you voted yet? If not, go vote today. My name is Patricia Plantamira, and I'm the Democratic candidate for Florida House of Representatives in District 66, here along Pinellas's Gulf Coast. My millionaire Republican opponent's website demonstrates blind loyalty to Trump with his red stamp of approval for President Trump's agenda. He touts his signature anti-home rule legislation, which keeps local governments from raising taxes. This is particularly foolhardy in light of COVID-19, since tourism and hospitality are down, and along with it, tax revenue has dropped. Without a national plan, state and local governments must shoulder the burdens. My priorities? Direct tax dollars toward public health, affordable housing, education, and creating environmentally sustainable jobs, thereby transforming Florida's economy. Tax revenue in 2021 will be down drastically. This necessitates voting for candidates who will direct public tax dollars toward the common good. Check out Sunday's Tampa Bay Times Know Your Candidate section. The choice is clear. Either vote for the garbage company-owning millionaire Republican who wants to lower taxes and reduce regulations, or the working-class Democrat who advocates for a living wage, which benefits us all, as workers' payroll taxes subsidize government services and also pay for Social Security and Medicare, which so many Floridians depend upon. I'm Patricia Plantamira, candidate for State House District 66. My website, People Before Politics. That's people, the letter B, and the numeral 4, politics.com. Please support me with your vote, and like me, continue to support our community radio station, WMNF. Again, go vote today. Thank you for your time.
Well, that's Patricia Plantamura, who is running for State House District 66 in the upper portion of Pinellas County near Clearwater and Largo. Well, this is WMNF in Tampa. Our next candidate is running for State House District 38.
Good morning. My name is Brian Staver, and I'm running for the Florida State House to represent District 38. I'd first like to say thank you to WMNF Radio for this opportunity to address my future constituents. I am a second-generation veteran who believes in duty, honor, and country. These words I take to heart, as well as my oath to support and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I was born and raised in a small farming community called Vienna, Virginia. After graduation and honorable discharge from the U.S. Navy, I moved to Sunnyvale, California, where I spent the next 25 years raising a family, becoming involved with the American Red Cross, San Jose Search and Rescue, attended the University of Phoenix, and eventually retired from Cisco Systems. Having retired from Cisco Systems, my wife Sherry and I decided to move to Florida and settle down in Wesley Chapel's Watergrass community, where I immediately became involved in local politics by becoming an organizer for the Hillary Clinton presidential campaign, president of the East Pasco Democratic Club, a member of the Democratic Executive Committee, and ran for the Pasco County School Board. I am a strong advocate for women's and LGBTQ rights, the First and Second Amendments, unions, gun safety, and public education, environmental and veterans issues. I am proud to announce that I have received endorsements from both the Democratic Environmental and Veterans Caucuses. In closing, my name is Brian Staver. I'm running for the Florida State House to represent District 38, asking for your vote on November 3rd, 2020.
That's Brian Staver, is running for State House District 38, which includes portions of Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel, and those areas in the eastern part of Dade, or Pasco County, rather. Well, this is WMNF in Tampa. Just a few more candidates' remarks before we open up the phone lines. Next, we're going to hear from a countywide Hillsborough County Commission candidate.
Hi, this is Hillsborough County Commissioner, countywide, Pat Kemp. I've served for 4 years, and I'm running for another 4 years. Since I arrived in Hillsborough County 35 years ago, I've been a WMNF listener supporter like you, and thank you for supporting this wonderful radio station. For the last 4 years, I've worked hard on making growth pay its own way, something that hasn't been done in Hillsborough County for decades. We've raised impact fees for parks, fire rescue, schools, $40 million more a year, water and wastewater, and for transportation, desperately needed infrastructure that we have not been doing for a long, long time. Transit, I've worked very hard to make our transit system way better. We are the most underfunded transit system in the nation for a metro area this size, not by a little bit, by a long shot. That has to change. I've been working hard on that. $15 an hour for raising wages for county employees. We've raised the wages. I worked hard to raise the wages of more than 500 county employees who are making under $15 an hour, some under $10 an hour. Renewable energy. I've worked hard to bring renewable energy programs into the county. I championed spending $5 million on solar panels to put on our libraries, fire stations, and other public buildings. And I worked to bring the Sun program, Solar United Neighbors, for rooftop solar to this community. Together, we're going to make a prosperous and sustainable future for Hillsborough County. I'd appreciate your vote. Vote Pat Kemp, Hillsborough County Commissioner, countywide, and thank you.
Well, that's Pat Kemp, who's running for the Hillsborough County Commission for a countywide seat. And this is WMNF Tampa. Just one more candidate message. This is from a candidate who's running for Supervisor of Elections in Pinellas County.
Hello, I'm Dan Helm. I'm your candidate for Supervisor of Elections in Pinellas. I decided to stand up for public office when I saw what was happening in this country in March. There's a crisis not only taking thousands of lives, but also a crisis of leadership. Our leaders are not doing enough to keep us safe. I'm running to keep voting safe in Pinellas, secure, accessible, fair elections, secure from threats of COVID, secure from threats of cyber attacks, secure from voter intimidation. I'm running to make voting more accessible. I would expand early voting locations. Pinellas County is the worst in the state for early voting, given the size of our population. Our neighbor Hillsborough has 26 early voting locations. Pasco County, with half of our population, has 14 early voting locations. Pinellas County has just 5, and often only 3 early voting locations. That means voters have to drive farther and wait longer to vote early. I'm running to make voting more fair and transparent. Julie Marcus is currently shredding your ballot. She destroys your digital ballot upon creation. When the paper ballot goes into the machine takes a picture. The current supervisor destroys that picture without explanation. 30 counties in Florida automatically save this digital ballot, but your current DeSantis-appointed supervisor elections changes the default settings on the machine to delete your ballot. I'm a lawyer. I will follow the law and make sure we save your digital ballot and protect your vote. I grew up in Pinellas. I attended local public schools. I then received my bachelor's degree from the University of Florida. I got a law degree from Emory University, and I worked in Florida to protect the vote under voter protection. I successfully sued a supervisor elections for law violations in 2018. I will do everything I can to protect your right to vote. You can find out more about me at votedanhelm.com. Thank you. I'm Dan Helm. I'm running for supervisor elections in Pinellas County.
Well, as you heard him say, Dan Helm running for supervisor of elections in Pinellas County. That's the end of our free messages for candidates. We do this before almost every election. We've been doing it for years, and we offer free airtime to candidates. And the deadline for making a recording of their free message was this morning at 9 o'clock. So those were all the candidates we've heard from. We've heard from several the last few days. And thanks to the candidates for taking part in this. And I wish we could expand it. I wish we could do it more often. And I wish some of the candidates in Sarasota and Polk County especially would kind of jump on board and take part the next time we do this. Well, this is 88.5 FM, and we're going to open up the phone lines. David just called in. Let's see what David wants to talk about. David, you're on the air. What would you like to talk about?
Rob, I want to talk quickly about early voting. When did it start that people in states, in certain states don't do it, certain counties don't do it? When did early voting become in vogue?
What year? I don't know. I mean, that's knowable. That's something that you could do a search on the internet and find out. But it goes back a few years. You know, we used to have a few days of early voting. I think it was expanded here in Florida. But this is knowable. And frankly, because I'm doing the show, I can't do the investigation for you. I'm sure that some of our listeners who have some time might be able to do that, but it's been going on for years.
I do not trust early voting. I will not vote early. I will vote on Election Day proudly. I'll take the day off. And I think that our government has the ability and the responsibility to make Voting Day a national holiday where the people don't have to go to work, because I think voting is not just a right, it's an obligation.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing. I think a lot of people have said that in the past. One of the things that would make that happen is that if enough people put pressure on their members of Congress to make the presidential election day a national holiday. And, you know, I don't know if you're part of an organized group that's done that, but there are people here in the Tampa Bay area and around the country that have suggested that many times over the years. And I think what needs to be done, if you sincerely want to do this, is to create an organization and put pressure on members of Congress to create that national holiday.
Point well taken. What about daylight saving times? I know the voters in Florida voted unanimously, or not unanimously, but, you know, voted overwhelmingly for year-round daylight saving. That still has not occurred. What is going on? Why do people vote for something and then the legislature does not honor it?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know why. Why do you like daylight savings time as opposed to standard time?
You know, I've always been on, you know, my body just functions. I wake up without an alarm clock. I go to sleep without a clock. I mean, I worked on a farm as a young boy. And when the sun came up, I got up. Usually it was before the sun came up. And it's just, I think daylight savings time was implemented years ago to help with the harvesting of the crops, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right.
And I love Florida as the Sunshine State. I think that it leads to less depression. I think that, I don't know, I could go on and on. I don't, maybe other people could expound on it, but I just wish we had daylight savings time year-round. I just wish they wouldn't mess with.
You know, I think it's interesting you mentioned that. If my memory serves me right, both our U.S. senators have called for a national extension of daylight savings time year-round, and both of our U.S. senators are are Republicans, by the way. This morning I got up and walked the dog at about 6:45, and it was pitch black. So me and the dog, we were kind of in danger of being hit by cars, and luckily I made it safely. But yeah, I think, you know, we're on daylight savings time now, so I'm not sure what the best arrangement of time is, but it does seem to be dark very late here now under daylight savings time. And there should be probably a national discussion about, you know, how to rearrange the clocks and maybe set them permanently.
Some parts of the country do have it year-round.
Yeah, that's true. I think the reluctance of the legislature is that they want to be on East Coast time, whatever that is. You know, they want to be aligned up with Washington and New York and the big cities like Atlanta and Philadelphia and Boston. So,
you know, I remember when I was in high school, this is going back a long way, because I graduated in 76. But one year in high school, they had daylight savings time year-round. So that would have been 73, 74, 75, 70, but the complaint I heard most was the fact about children going to school in the dark and catching the buses and the safety of the children. And that did seem like a good argument. But
yeah, because, you know, look at me. I walked the dog at 6:45. It was still dark outside, very dark. And so if you extend the darkness in the early morning hours, you make it worse. So
yeah, you're putting children in. I can see them.
Yeah. Anyway, it's something I haven't thought about for years, but thanks for bringing it up.
Thank you, Rob.
All right. Thanks, Dave. 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. I always mispronounce this person's name, but and I don't think I'm pronouncing it right now, but Ghislaine Maxwell's answers to questions about the sex trafficking operation she allegedly ran with the late Jeffrey Epstein were made public today, as a federal court released Maxwell's 2016 deposition. The transcript is more than 400 pages long, but it has been redacted to protect the privacy of some people it mentions. The transcript is finally being unsealed after a back-and-forth legal battle between Maxwell and Virginia Giuffre, who had accused Maxwell, Epstein, and others of sexually abusing her when she was a minor. Giuffre's attorneys say that while they welcome the transcript's release, it doesn't tell the whole story. Court documents allege that Maxwell procured young girls for the late Epstein to have sex with, and that the pair also ordered girls and young women to have sex with rich and powerful men. So that story is breaking just this morning. We'll hear more about what's in those transcripts as the day goes on. And I was reading that from the NPR News website. Here's some news from the AP. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden will not rule out studying the addition of members to the U.S. Supreme Court as part of a commission he plans to name to look at court reforms if he's elected. During an interview with CBS's 60 Minutes recorded Monday but not yet aired, Biden was asked if the commission would study whether to pack the court. Biden says the commission's charge would go well beyond packing. Biden said last week he's not a fan of adding justices to the court to balance it ideologically. He said he would answer the question of whether he planned to support it before the final presidential debate that's scheduled for tonight in Nashville. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Sean from the newsroom says he posted the Maxwell deposition, all 400 pages, on the WMNF News Facebook page. So you can find it there and read it yourself. The number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits fell last week to 787,000, a sign that job losses may have eased slightly but are still running at historically high levels. With confirmed injections, or rather with confirmed infections, having neared 60,000 in the past week, the highest level since July, many consumers have been unable or they've been reluctant to shop, travel, dine, or congregate in crowds, a trend that's led some employers to keep cutting jobs. Several states, such as Ohio and Idaho, are reporting a record number of hospitalizations from the virus. Yeah, we can talk about these issues. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Dennis in Sarasota, who wants to talk about daylight savings time. Dennis, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Nice hearing you again. This this daylight savings time thing keeps popping back up. You may remember a couple of sessions ago, the Florida legislature tried to address that issue again. And back in 1973, I was working for the Florida legislature on the Florida Energy Committee, and some senators who claimed kids were getting run over at bus stops wanted to put the state off at daylight savings time. So that's what the drafting a bill. So I dutifully went to the law library and read the federal statute and federal cases on it. And there's only one way for a state to get out of daylight savings time under the federal time law, and that's to be in a single time zone. Florida is in two time zones.
We lost you, Dennis. Okay, so Dennis, that's an interesting call. I hope you call back, 813-239-9663. Well, questions are swirling about the origins of Pope Francis's bombshell comments endorsing same-sex civil unions. All evidence suggests he made them in a 2019 interview that was never broadcast in its entirety. The Vatican refused to comment on whether it cut the remarks from its own broadcast or pressured the Mexican broadcaster that conducted the interview to follow suit. And it didn't respond to questions about why it allowed the comments to be aired now in the documentary film Francesco, which premiered Wednesday. In that movie, Pope Francis says gay people have the right to be in a family since they are children of God. Those comments have caused a firestorm for some. Florida health officials have held off releasing their normal coronavirus update as they announced a more thorough review of fatalities reported to the state. The Florida Department of Health did not release new COVID-19 cases and deaths yesterday. The agency says fatality data reported to the state consistently present confusion and warrant a more rigorous review. Of the 95 fatalities reported to the state on Tuesday, 16 had more than a two-month separation between the time the individuals tested positive and passed away, and 11 of the deaths occurred more than a month ago. So Florida reviewing how to count the number of people dying from COVID. And if you want to comment, you can email us here in the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. And let's go back to Dennis, who wants to finish out his comments about daylight savings time. So, Dennis, you work for the legislature and were assigned to try to find a way to change our daylight savings time here in Florida?
Right. I was a junior in Florida State College of Law then. So I was, you know, picking up a fast $3 an hour doing law clerk work at the legislature. And the attorney for the Florida Energy Committee gave me the job of writing the bill. And under federal law, the only way to get out of daylight savings time, as I was saying before, the Russians cut us off.
or the Iranians or the Proud Boys, right?
Time zone. You can do that.
Yeah.
But the Panhandle or the East Coast would end up getting screwed because you'd either be in the Central Time Zone or in the Eastern time zone, and either way, somebody's going to get shafted. So that ended it. Recently, I think it was Greg Stubbe or somebody of his type tried to do that a couple of sessions ago. Apparently, they didn't read my memo. So now you know, and if you ever get a call like that again, you can explain them that since Florida's in two time zones, it's not practical.
Okay.
So one way or another, somebody's going to be in the dark.
Well, I mean, does it make the most sense if we had a national commission studying whether to stay on daylight savings time or stay on standard time or do it the way it is now? And that is, we have about 4 months of standard time and the rest of the year it's daylight savings time. Does it make sense to have a national commission look at it and find out, a blanket proposal for the entire country?
Well, that's a political question.
Well, this is a political show.
On that, all I can tell you is, you know, I'm a bit of a cosmologist. I know how things work in the universe, and I'm a fairly decent attorney. So I can give you the law, and I can give you the physics. And right now, the astronomical fact is the Earth spins, and the eastern part of Florida is in a different spin zone than the western part.
Yeah, that's true. You know, my idea would be to say, okay, we've got an 8-hour workday. Let's make it a 7-hour workday. And then for those people who are worried about kids in schools and early bus rides, you might be able to solve the problem if it's understood that maybe school has a shorter day, maybe parents have a shorter day.
Well, as I said, that's political, and right now I'm doing poll observer work, so I'm as political as I can be right now.
Okay, Dennis, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. All right, good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Neil in St. Petersburg. Neil, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Morning, Rob. Yeah, for the debate tonight, I'm really hoping that, you know, they're going to have 2 minutes uninterrupted, so I'm hoping Biden uses the first 30 seconds each time just to point out to all the seniors in America that Trump is killing Social Security by suspending the payroll tax, and then talks about how he promised if he's reelected he wants to get rid of the payroll tax, which would kill Social Security within 4 years. And I just really hope he digs down on that every opportunity he gets, because that's just a fact. The payroll tax pays for Social Security, and if Trump gets rid of it, he gets rid of Social Security.
Do you think the Democrats have been too quiet about Social Security as an issue?
They have been blowing it big time. That's what they should be talking about all the time. Because you've got the video of Trump saying, re-elect me, I'm going to get rid of the tax. I think most Americans don't realize that that is the tax that keeps Social Security solvent. So what he did was, you know, I'm sure Trump probably doesn't even know it. He probably has one of these Koch brother guys in his ear who's convincing him, oh, it's a horrible tax, get rid of it, without explaining to Trump, oh, when you do that, you also get rid of Social Security. That's why Mitch McConnell wouldn't touch it. He knows that it's you know, the third rail, but the Democrats, as usual, are not seizing a good opportunity.
Yeah, I've often wondered that, because we talk a lot about Social Security here on WMNF, and the Democrats have not brought it up as an issue. The president is saying, look, even though there's the payroll tax cut, and not every business has cut the payroll tax cut for their workers, but the president is saying that whatever deficit we create with this payroll tax cut, we'll just take it out of the general revenue next year. And what do you think? Sure. What do you think the chances are that Congress will borrow 10 or 15 or $100 billion to plug that hole?
Well, if Mitch McConnell still in, if they still control the Senate, not at all. The Democrats would, if they take control, they'd suck it up. They'd at least pay it for the citizens, maybe not the employers. They might say the employers, you've got to pay that back. But it's just, it's such a win situation. I just don't understand. Because Trump's already shedding senior citizens across the country, according to polls. This would just push those seniors over the edge if they just knew the facts.
All right, Neil, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think it's an important issue, the future of Social Security. I think it's hugely important. It's important because we want to keep seniors out of poverty. Tommy writes this, I think the best way to address daylight savings time is to fall back to a half an hour and make that standard time worldwide and never change the clocks again, Tommy writes. And then Dave in Clearwater writes, the time change negation was approved by Florida voters, and I think the state legislature also. At that time, I heard that the federal government had to approve the change, so I think it's on the plate of our current federal officials, writes Dave in Clearwater. And then Jim from Spring Hill writes, regarding your caller's suggestion of making voting day a national holiday, unless you have a union contract or are a federal employee, it doesn't mean your employer will give you the day off, writes Jim from Spring Hill. I think if they declared a national holiday, just like they declared Dr. King's birthday a national holiday, I think your employer has to recognize that, Jim. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they have to recognize it, just like a bunch of other days are recognized as holidays. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Patty in Sarasota. Patty, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Rob, could you explain to me exactly what packing the court means? Does that mean an extra justice that would be half and half? What does this mean? Because I want to know.
All right. So what it means is that right now, if Judge Barrett is confirmed, and that looks like it's well on its way to happening, you're gonna have a conservative 6-3 majority on the Supreme Court. So.
Right.
In order to balance out, you know, the country's not a 6-3 country. The country's a 50-50 right. country. So those that support this idea of adding, expanding members might want to add 3 members, might want to add as many as 11 more members so they can have a court that's more representative of the country. That's what they say, and they want to balance it out. I do think that the country doesn't lean 6-3 conservative. So, and the Republicans have gotten gotten a bunch of nominations over the past few years and have nominated some pretty hardcore people. So that's what packing means. What packing means is it means expanding the number of people on the U.S. Supreme Court. And the first time I heard the term was when reading about FDR, and he wanted to expand the court because the courts were hostile to him. The U.S. Supreme Court was hostile to him in the 1930s and 40s. So he wanted to do that. I think he backed down from that idea, though.
That's a lot, though. I thought maybe what they would do is one or two, so it's equal, and then they always have the deciding judge, right, break the tie or something.
Well, I think you probably want to have an odd number, you can't have a bunch of split decisions. Yeah.
That's a lot of judges. And can I ask you one more thing? And this has to do with the whole abortion thing because I was reviewing both of the platforms yesterday. Okay. If it stays status quo as is, it stays as is. I have a question. I wanted to ask different people of all kinds of occupations, whether it's, you being a reporter or a minister or whatever. I have a question. Let's say they outlaw Roe versus Wade, like the dream. You cannot have an abortion. Now, when I looked on the Republican, what Trump supports, get this, of course you know this, if it's incest or rape, which is horrible, right? You then can go have an abortion. But, it's still the same, it's still, a fetus or a baby, whatever you want to say. So you're really not saying outlaw totally. You're still allowing, quote-unquote, we call it mercy killing then. So it's kind of like it's not sort of an honest pro-life stance. What I'm worried about, and I don't know if I'm insane, maybe I am, if they outlaw it, with what we have now with technology, with the supposed Q people out there, all these things, don't you think there's going to then become a type of underground black market, I don't know, optional industry for people to go and still get abortion in the most horrible ways or have their babies adopted by God knows who? I mean, do you think that could occur if we outlaw our legal system that we have now?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what will occur. I mean, on the federal level, they could say, well, that women no longer have the right to privacy for their own bodies, which is what they'd have to say. And then it would be up to the states, and some states, because their legislatures lean really far to the right, they would ban abortion entirely. So if you had a lot of states like that, this illegal abortion industry would pop back up. It was big in this country in the 60s, 50s, 40s, and 30s, yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, so I'm not so off to, as they say, left field on that coming out even worse. All right.
Yeah, because I think, we don't know the circumstances of everybody's lives, but some people, for whatever reason, get in a bad situation and they need to get an abortion. And, I think the federal government wants to, at least the current federal government, wants to put itself in the place of decider for every case, and not every case is alike. And I think you can't have the government deciding for every woman what her right choice is, because the government couldn't possibly know what's in that woman's heart and mind and personal experience. 813-239-9663. The other thing I would say to Patty is that when it comes to packing the courts, the Democrats are arguing right now, and I think it's an interesting case, that the Republicans have packed the courts for years. And they packed them during the Bush administration, packed them during the Trump administration. President Trump has been very successful in getting people that coincide with his ideology and the Federalist ideology onto the federal court and the appellate courts. So anytime a progressive or liberal brings an issue to the courts, they're going to have a really tough time in the next few years because the courts, in a sense, have already been packed. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play your comments back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is 88.5 FM, WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks to Bill Grace. He's been our phone producer today. Stay tuned because the Midpoint program is coming up next right here on 88.5 FM. And the Surly Feminists are in today, so that's going to be a hot one. Stick around. Here's the latest news.